Please pray with me. Living One, speak to us during this season of preparation, of waiting for the advent of Christ. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are the God who leads us through struggle and through joy, through hope and into peace, into walking and into dancing. Amen. Last Sunday was the first Sunday of this season of Advent, and it was if you remember, those of you who were here, kind of a dark day. The scriptures reflected that kind of struggle, a sense of abandonment and despair of the people from whom the scriptures of the day came. There's a sense that God didn't show up when and how they wanted, and God doesn't show up when and how we want either. Too many people suffer in too many ways, a few thousand years ago as well as now. And then, as is now, we yearn to experience the living presence of God with us, to touch us where we hurt, in our dreams, in our crushing defeats, in our bodies. In every way, we long and long over and over again to know God more deeply. We saw how we yearn for God to come down and fix things, to use God's power in a way that heals people, that ends problems like poverty, like greed. And there's a sense that we can wait for that. And in a sense, God has already come to us in the person of Christ. The Spirit is with us every day. And it's up to us to put ourselves on the line every day, all that we have and all that we are, for that is the meaning of waiting during this time of preparation. We are to put our weight upon the One who is coming and trust in Him. While we wonder where is the God who is creative, who is powerful, who brings to birth good things, who rescues and redeems and resurrects, we are called to put ourselves, our own bodies and minds and hearts, into action as we wait. It's a proactive way of being. And so that's what we decided last week. We decided that Advent is a time of waiting in the sense of putting ourselves out there, jumping off a cliff, as it were. Even though we can't prove there is a God, if we believe that God is, then we jump off a cliff, that's one image, and find how we can fly into God's future for us. In the midst of life's complexities, we cry out, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." And I think last week and today we hear in response, again, "Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come." And so that's how we began Advent. Rather serious, looking inside, taking a sober look at the complexity of God, of life, of reality, and finding in that signs of hope, of gospel, good news. Today we hear words of grace and hope. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will endure forever. Do not fear. Here is your God. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs in his arms and carry them in his arms and gently lead the mother sheep. Very pastoral, gentle sense of God's care for us. And then we hear the words, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." And the last verse of the New Testament reading, the Gospel reading, was, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." gain a sense of forward movement. We're not lost and we don't stay in this dark, struggling space. Yes, that's always there. We know it. We're human beings. We're people of faith. There's always more to learn, always more to struggle with. And there's light. There's hope. There's God. There is one another. And so Advent is a penitential season, the time for repentance and regeneration and renewal, but there is also this other side of light and hope and God's renewal and God's lighting of that light within each one of us and within all of us together. So because of the kind of dancing sense I got out of these verses, out of Isaiah, and actually one of the lectionary readings is Psalm 85, you proclaimed it in your responsive invocation at the very beginning. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet, righteousness and peace will kiss each other, faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. That speaks to me of dance, of movement, of meeting, of communication, of hope, of dynamics. We're not just stuck. There's a lot going on. And we are in the midst of that. And so today I thought I'd tell you, or remind you, if maybe you listened to NPR the other day, to Carl Castle, Wait, Don't Tell Me host. Oh, okay, you know him. And he said that Jews have the longest running energy source in history. Anybody know the name of that? I'm Jewish, so I can tell the joke. Okay. It's called Hanukkah. What happened on Hanukkah? Well, they were under siege. They had oil for one night's lighting of the lamp. It lasted 8 nights. So, see, they were energy pioneers way back. One fill up goes a long way. And yesterday I was in my office and I took a break in the afternoon. I went down to Sacramento Street and I was singing Comfort, Comfort You, My People, not loudly, just to myself because I don't want to disturb people. And I walked by a store, and there were some Christmas cards outside, and I zoned in on one. I thought, that's for my wife, Diana. And that led me into the store, and I bought a couple things, and I paid at the cash register, and the woman said, oh, wait a minute, I have something else to give you. And she gave me another little bag with kind of, you know, other colors in it and a little gift. And I didn't know that it was kind of like a group walkabout down here or some kind of community sharing thing, and I walked out and I think, I gotta get out more, you know? I gotta walk around and go into stores and see what happens, because you never know. I had no idea that that was going on, just a couple blocks away. And last night, I'm in an improv theater group. I'm a beginner. We've been meeting for a year and trying our wings, and sometimes we fall flat on our face and sometimes we fly away. And last night was a good night, and I came out for this one scene. I thought, I'm going to be the director of a Christmas play. Now, don't get mad at me as I tell you this story. And the woman who turned out to be my partner came out and said, I have a wound right there. And she had a knife wound right here. So we riffed off of that. I thought, why not have, you know, a Christmas play that's different? You know, not all nice and sweet, you know, and all that. Let's see, a wound. Give the 3-year-olds rubber knives and the 6-year-olds clubs, and Herod is over there kind of singing a song as he mixes fake blood, and the angels are kind of fluttering around, but they look kind of twisted. Well, the second scene, a few minutes later, I had been fired as Sunday school superintendent. And my accomplice had too. So in the third scene, we were homeless out in the park trying to raise money. And she had a wound, and I was thinking, how do we do this? So I thought, well, let's just keep doing what we're doing. And I was taking weird shapes with the wings, and she got this idea of calling out to people, come on, pay me some money, I'll give you a little scar. And there I was. You know, we made a lot of money. There they were coming up, you know. The rest of the cast came out and they were paying money and she would carve a little bit into them and had fake blood. All in the imagination. You know, and it was great. Don't worry, I'm not gonna lead any church plays, especially Christmas pageants. you had to be there. I mean, it was hilarious. That's what happens in improv. Okay. Now, I haven't forgotten the dark stuff. You know, we all struggle. Economics, war, the rise of slavery, again, in our world. But you know, I love singing that hymn, "Comfort, comfort ye, my people." Comfort, comfort ye to my people. And because it's a beautiful song, and you find if you read that passage carefully, that's what God is telling somebody to proclaim. Comfort. Comfort. With strength. Comfort. With strength. I could sing that song over and over and over again quietly because I don't want to disturb anybody. But they speak to me of God's constant love in the midst of all this stuff. You know, the fake stuff, the too pretty stuff, as well as the downright awful stuff. They go together. I mean, this reminds me of God's present love. God is the one who straightens out the crooked, who heals the suffering, who gives hope to those who are bowed down to the ground, who lifts our eyes to see God's glory in the everyday. This is what Advent is about, too. This is good news. This is gospel. And so as those words, "comfort, comfort my people," are said, that goes on to say, "proclaim this to my people, for they have paid double for their sins." And I thought, isn't that true? We act and we have to go through the consequences of our actions, and sometimes it seems we pay a lot for what we just did or said, whether it was a minute ago or 20 years ago. It keeps rolling through us. And the word comes to us, comfort, comfort, comfort. And so beyond all the expectations of the people who knew that they had been abandoned and they had gone away from God, came this marvelous sense that God was like a shepherd, that God was feeding his lambs, leading the mother sheep gently along the path, that all was not lost. They didn't deserve it. They got it. If the Bible's about anything, it's about that. A sense of, yes, we have gone astray, and God knows that and walks through the valley of the dark shadow of death with us and brings us out on the other side as a shepherd feeding the lambs. It's as though God says, tell them that their past troubles shall not define all who they are in the future. For I am with them and they're gently, with gentleness, with power, with mercy to lead them in their full human dilemma when they prepare a way for me in their hearts. The way will be made straight. And I will come to them and through them and bless them and bless those around them. There is great hope. I think that's what we are led to in another step of Advent. We are to prepare the way of the Lord. We can prepare getting gifts. We can prepare making goodies. We can prepare in a lot of ways. But where we're going with this is to prepare a way within our own lives. You and I know that. To join in the way with one another. And to get sometimes out of the way. Because our agendas are usually not God's agendas. And God wants to enter into each one of us and all of us and lead us along the way of peace, the way of wholeness, the way of the Spirit. So whatever you are facing, whatever our neighbors are facing, I mean, here we're beginning to collect food for the food bank. There's a lot of people in the city go hungry. Whatever we're facing and others are facing, the word is still, be comforted. Be with strength. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and speak through you in ways you have no way of guessing to those around you. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. Let's put ourselves on the way of the Lord this Advent. Let's make a space in our hearts, in our minds, for a straight way to be made by God. And let's affirm our willingness to do that together, or with your home congregation if you're visiting. Bring that word to them. Let's go together along this way, because this is a season of preparation for the Christ to be made real in us. Let us pray. O God, help us to see not only the hard parts of life, but also to laugh, to rejoice with those who rejoice, as well as sorrow with those who sorrow. Help us to find our place in the dance. Help us to dare to smile, to open our arms in peace. Help us to give of ourselves just a little bit, that others may also hear good news. Comfort, comfort my people. For God wants to lead all of his lambs in peace. Amen.